Very special guest joining me live. He is a former NHL player, former American League player, spent the last 7 years coaching in the WHL and in the American Hockey League, and yesterday was officially announced as the new assistant coach of the Edmonton Oilers. A good friend of the show, Rocky Thompson, joins us. Rock, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Gregor.
Well, you're looking good.
Oh, thank you.
You're still in tip-top shape, I see.
Yeah, no, I get an opportunity.
Are you like a yogi guy now? Do you do yoga too?
Not a chance.
No?
No way.
Okay, you can touch your toes or no?
I'm old school.
Old school?
Yeah, bench press, arm curls.
I like it. Nice. But there are a lot of guys. Strudwick, he swears that yoga is the do-all. And honestly, I did it for it, and I did feel better because I'm about as flexible as a crowbar, so it's awful. I should do it more. But I can't get back in.
No, exactly. I'm sure it is good. I've never done it though. I'm more of a guy about routine.
Yeah, really. Now, so what's your workout routine still now?
Well, I lift basically Monday to Friday, and then I'll do cardio, you know, every day, half hour. I'm not trying to kill myself anymore, but during the season with our guys, I'll do spin bikes with them, you know, on workout days, and that's when
you wear padded shorts when you do that.
No, I don't have to. I can handle it.
Okay, I hate spin class. Like the up and down of the seat, it's just not meant for guys. I'm sorry, no. Unless you have a special bike seat, or maybe I was doing it wrong. That's probably very possible. But
maybe if you did one of my spins, you'd like it.
Oh, really?
It'd be pretty tough though. You'd be dying.
I'd be dying.
Oh, you'd be dying.
Really?
I'm dying.
Oh, okay.
Our guys are dying.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
And what are you doing, like 90 minutes or 60?
No. We don't do it crazy because they've been on the ice, right?
Oh, okay.
So we do a real high interval training session, and it'll last anywhere between 15 to 20 minutes.
Well, kind of like 40 seconds on, 20-second break.
Yeah, it'll be, 10 seconds hard, then you get a 5-second break, then 10 seconds hard. You know, I mean, and then the different variations of what you can do on the bike with positioning, just body positioning and stuff like that. It can be dead tired, pulling one leg out, just having to grind it out with the other leg, fast twitch muscle fibers, you know, doing over speed with less tension on the wheel kind of thing.
And now you've done a lot of training. We're going to get into coaching. It's like, but you're a guy who is, you know, a very good boxer. Were you a gold glove boxer?
Yeah, I won 2 Golden Gloves tournaments, one in Alberta and one in Saskatchewan.
Okay.
And I competed internationally as well. I won the Native American North American Championship. I can't remember what year it was. It would have been around 92, 93.
Yeah. But boxing, man, I did a boxing training thing a few times, and just hitting the bag for a minute, my arms were done. Like boxing, still, like, do you still train that way? Like, that's got to be one of the best cardios you can
do. Oh, it is. It's unbelievable. We do have a heavy bag down in Oklahoma City, but it's nothing like when you get into the ring, your eyes get open because, like you said, one thing against a heavy bag, but after 3 minutes of even just one round and you realize, oh my gosh, I can hardly lift my arms and I got to go a couple of more rounds with your sparring partner, whoever the case may be, you start to think that's a great fear and a great motivator for saying, okay, I got to get in better shape than what I'm doing right now or I'm going to get hurt.
Rocky Thompson joins us. Well, congratulations, the new assistant coach of the Edmonton Oilers, in a role I think you're very comfortable with because essentially it's a role you've been doing for the last few years in OKC.
No, absolutely. I've been the eye in the sky in Oklahoma City. I would spend 2 of the periods up in the press box, and then I would come down to the bench and help Todd Nelson in the third period. But it was a job that I would analyze the other team's systems before in a pre-scout. I knew exactly what would be coming against us, and I would let Todd and Jerry Fleming know before the game. And then my job was to see if there was any adjustments, see if their systems have changed. Teams do that coming in to play us, for example, and whether we have to make an adjustment, what it is that we can combat in a sense to counter what they're trying to do. I focus on individual players that are maybe not having a good game on the opposition, people we can expose. Identify players on our team who may be struggling, young players that need teaching. I will log video as the game is happening in real time for the purposes of going down between periods, and it could be simply just showing them a system thing that they're, some players you can explain a system to and they can get it. Mark Arcabello, you could talk to him, he can go right off the bench and do exactly what you said. Other players, they need a visual and they need to see themselves and they need to see where they failed and then be corrected in that situation. And I think that it's been an excellent tool for allowing our team, which is a very systematic team, it was over the past 4 years in Oklahoma, just to get us dialed in. And then it's fundamental things, how guys get beat one-on-one. It could be a simple thing as you crossed over here and that's what opened up the outside lane, and then you can show them a positive clip saying, here, you're doing it the way that we want you to do it, and you can see the effectiveness. And once they get that and it clicks in, now you can hammer that fundamental in and they can take it with them the rest of their career.
Rocky Thompson joins us. You're working in the American League with young guys who are obviously aspiring and trying to get to the NHL. Now you come in and, you know, you're going to be dealing with the best of the best. How exciting is that? How different will it be, do you feel, as a coach?
You know what? And it was something I always wondered, because in the American League, how would a guy like Ryan Nugent Hopkins or Taylor Hall or Jordan Eberle respond to coaching that way? And the answer, we got it during the lockout, because we had an opportunity to work with those guys. And as special as they are with the puck, there's areas of the game that can be improved. There's no doubt. And they're just very young players. I mean, in their very early 20s, just starting out their career. And I know from my own personal standpoint that I'm not intimidated by, how good a player is, how special they are. You can always improve. And these guys are great guys to at the end of the day as well. So they want to improve. They want to get better. And then but they'll test you at the same breath. Not even just, Taylor Hall or Jordan Eberle, like players that we have in the minors. You know, they are coming from a way that they may have learned during college or major junior. And we're trying to change some of these habits that maybe have been instilled over the years that just aren't going to work anymore. And we have to know what we're talking about. We got to be able to communicate that to them. And in a sense, it's kind of funny, because a coach in the old days, just you did it because he told you to do it. Now we got to convince you and let you know why it is that we're telling you what it is, because a player is smart. And so it tests you as a coach. But if you know what you're talking about, you'll be able to get through to them and to help them out, no matter how high their skill level are or how great the player is.
When you worked in the American League, Rock, did you work more with defensemen, because that's a position you played, or were you with the forwards, or were you working with all of them?
I worked with all of them, and I played both positions my entire career. As a junior player, I always was a defenseman, but as I progressed to the professional, I would literally play half a season on defense, and then they'd move me up to forward, or I'd start the season as a forward, and injuries would happen, and I'd play the rest of the year on defense. And because of the type of player that I was an enforcer. I didn't have the highest skill level as far as skating or my hand skills, that I had to learn details of the game to help make me more successful on the ice, shift in and shift out from both positions. And now being able to do those little tricks, little things that help you out, I can pass that on to players who are already great players, but that can give them another little added edge to their game.
Speaking of the added edge, Rocky Thompson joins us, a new assistant coach of the Edmonton Oilers. We are live at Sherwood Buick GMC in the park. The added edge, and everybody knows how you played the game, right? And you and I have joked about this over the years, the Rocky Thompson in Medicine Hat, and then in Calgary with the long hair, and hey, man, I wanted the other guys to be scared of me. That was my role. But you always had to be a student of the game. I think the perception I find from the public is they think that enforcers don't know how to play. They just know how to fight. And I've interviewed a lot of guys, and you're one of the more, intellectual guys. Did you always have an eye of the game, or is that something you learned when you became professional to think, I got to learn the game even more if I want to stay here, just because my skill maybe isn't at the same level of some of the other guys?
Well, and that's what it was when I was 16 years old going into the Medicine Hat Tigers training camp. I looked around and they had first-round draft picks, guys who were better skaters than me, who were bigger than me, who were way more talented than me, but they weren't willing to sacrifice like I was willing to sacrifice. I was just a kid, 16 years old, and what I did was I went right out and I fought whoever the veteran was on the other team. And knowing as a coach now, it's very rare to find players who will do that type of thing, because it's not easy on you. You know what I mean? I had to take a lot of lumps, but I was willing to sacrifice and willing to do those things in order to play at the highest level. And I went from a guy who had 5 points in my first year, I think 7 points in my next year. Then I had 30 points in my third year as a junior hockey player. My skill level started to improve. I started to understand the game. I listened to my coaches. I was always able to follow a system really well. I got time on the power play at at that point. I always had a heavy shot, and I always saw the ice really well. I just wasn't as fast as other players were, and I couldn't stick handle through guys like other players could do. But I did understand the game and had a good hockey mind. And as my career continued to progress, I think people have a misconception of me because they think, the fighter, and I get obviously typecasted as that. And of course, like you associate them, then I must not be very smart, or, you know, I must not know the game as well. But like you just alluded to before, I had to be an absolute student of the game because I didn't just want to go out and do that stuff. I love the game of hockey in every single facet it was. But that when I played that way, it helped my team be more successful. It helped my game improve. I would play more minutes. I would be able to play on the special teams. And teams were afraid of me. And I was able to kind of, take away some of the skill they was maybe coming after me in a sense of speed. If a guy blew me wide, well, then I made him pay a price later on. I tell him, this is why, you know, maybe I would just jump him, throw him on the ice and scare him a little bit so he wouldn't play as well. If you score again when I'm on the ice, I'm going to choke you out or something. You know what I mean? And this stuff would happen and it would work. And next thing you know, that they're a little bit more nervous or they're looking over their shoulder. Of course, I was never going to really hurt somebody, but the being cerebral about how you approach that intimidation factor was very important and it worked.
Rocky Thompson, join. Now the game, I still believe intimidation's part of the game. It's not we're not having line brawls or anything like that, and you can't necessarily even jump guys. You probably could throw them to the ice, but you're likely going to get a penalty. How do you find the intimidation game can still be effective for players who maybe aren't as skilled as other guys in the ice?
I think people, it all depends how you play a player. You know what I mean? I think I agree with you. We used to be able to target ahead when we played, when a guy had his head down, as far as like take fighting out of it. You know, how do you make a guy pay a price? But there's still ways of making the game uncomfortable for players, especially good players. They don't want to be in that situation. And I think that there's a number of ways that you can do that and not to be intimidated from them. But at the same time, it's always better to be the hunter. And if you have that mentality when you're playing, you're going to be more successful, not just if you're a tough guy, but just if you're, Taylor Hall's a hunter, in my opinion. He attacks the opposition, and he is so hard to play against it, and that's a form of intimidation when you see him coming down the wall with all that speed. Now, maybe somebody doesn't have that kind of speed like Luke Gazdick, but when he's coming down the wall and he's 240 pounds and he finishes his check on Sidney Crosby, if he gets the opportunity to get up against him, make those guys pay a price when he owns the front of the net of the other team by clearing out their defensemen when we're ready to shoot, that's a form of intimidation because you can't clear the guy. And then at the end of the day, if you want to stand up to him, well, good luck. You're going to be in trouble.